Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
You guys, it's Rick Tittle.
Thank you, and welcome to another live edition of Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. This Friday is going to be good because it's Good Friday. What's going on with y'all? We'll take y'alls and your calls. Get in the queue. We'll talk to you. And that number, I sound like Wolfman Jack here. Like, get in line for a real good time. 1-800-878-PLAY is the number to call. 1-800-878-7529. That's what gets you in and gets you heard coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. That's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard, Space Force, Delta Force, whatever force you are with, whatever branch, or as they say in England, branch. You're doing a great job keeping us safe, so you stay safe. Hope to see you at home very, very soon. I'm proud of each and every one of you. We're also on the internet, who's not, but go to sportsbyline.com. The award-winning website doesn't look as 80s as it used to, which is weird because there was no internet in the 80s, but it's new and improved, user-friendly, and awarded. Yes, we won an award. I won a BAFTA for Best Supporting Actress, 1973. So check out sportsbyline.com. Also, apropos applications include the TuneIn Radio app, the iHeartRadio app, the Stitcher app, Angry Birds, probably not, but those other ones can get the shows. I say probably because you never know with these kids today and their hacks. But you listen to the shows, stream along through there. Also on your TV set, forget HBO and Cinemax, boring snoozer. Streaming services like Netflix and Amazon, dumb. Go to CRN Digital Plus 2, the cable radio network channel, to your cable provider, 35 million homes. Homes, this is how we do it. Don't act like I did when I didn't. You know how I talk, girl. Remember, we've got a really big show for you today. Jan Wall always joins us in the first hour. The Hollywood Insider. We'll also have bracketologist. She's got bracketology. Joe Lenardi and comedian Chris Porter as well. He's hilarious. So we got Janie on the other side. We got you. We got me. We're all set for a good Friday. So come on back on Sports Byline.
Time for your small business report, presented by Dell Small Business. Just because you have an open for business sign on your front door or a website that's finally gone live isn't enough to assure you get customers. The world we live in requires small business people to find a way to get in front of people, show them something valuable, and somehow have them respond to the pitch. So be sure to invest in marketing properly. Look into newspapers, Facebook, Google, and radio to get the word out, and be sure to reward anyone offering referrals. Your sales will benefit if you start building hype and loyalty from day one. And that's your Dell Small Business Report.
What do you get when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get someone who understands there's an art to listening.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Who's able to hear more than what's being said and can provide tailored mm-hmm. small business solutions that make you feel okay. Truly heard.
I understand. Let's get started.
For advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and solutions powered by Intel vPro platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hi, I'm calling to schedule a shipment.
Indeed knows unexpected employee turnover can turn your business upside down.
Last pickup is at 7? Team, we gotta hustle.
Like at Sumita's online chai company, to avoid back orders, she needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-807-1981. 800-807-1981. That's 800-807-1981.
Hi, I'm Rick Tittle, and I host the Video Game Review every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight on the East Coast, right here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network. Video games are way more important than your job, your school, or your relationship, so let's talk about them. Everything from the 2600 to the 360. I don't work for any video game company, so I'll tell you what's worth your money and what stinks. Also, cheat codes, interviews, your calls, I'll give away a game, release dates, all that and more every Sunday night right here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful, genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful. Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a, he's so handsome, he's a genius.
Hey, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. It's Friday's first hour. We always like to check in with our good friend Jan Wall, the film critic. How are you, Jan?
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. Let's get the show started with our first guest, L. Marr, the author who has a brand new book, which just came out yesterday from Thomas & Mercer Publishing. It's called Lies We Bury. L, welcome to the show, and I know you just put out your other debut novel, The Missing Sister, last year, so it doesn't sound like you had to go to a log cabin and take 6 years to write a book. You're just pumping these out like Stephen King now.
Hey, that's the goal, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Rick.
Sure.
L, so, it sounds like, go ahead. Sorry, Rick.
No, sorry. It's just interesting. I know you grew up in Sacramento, and this book talks about an unspeakably dark childhood. Is that true with your time by the American River?
There are quite a few stories coming out of the American River, but no, this book does not speak to that.
Well, tell us about it, Al. I mean, it sounds like pretty dark material, though, right?
Well, I do like to write dark and twisty things. This is definitely a thriller suspense novel, so you guys are picking up on the right points. Thank you for that. I do think, though, there's a bit of optimism that's woven in throughout my books, both The Missing Sister and Lies We Bury. I wrote Lies We Bury I took inspiration from true crime headlines, and we all know how obsessed everyone is with docuseries on Netflix these days. But this Lies We Bury is really about the survivor story, or what I imagine these survivor stories might be. My main character is trying to grapple with the trauma she experienced as a child being born into captivity in a basement prison. So Lies We Bury begins 2 decades after that, where she's trying to, as an adult, establish herself as a freelance photographer in Portland, Oregon, when someone begins leaving childhood at crime scenes. So as the bodies begin to pile up at these murder scenes, she must dig into these long buried memories to figure out who is behind these murders.
do you just come up with this stuff in your head? How does that work? I mean, I know there's people out there listening who have ideas like this and love stories like this. I watch all that true crime stuff. But where does it come from?
Yeah, I think it's you know, for me, it's about remembering and tapping into things that have held my interest for better or for worse, ideas or headlines that I've returned to over the years. And unfortunately, one of the most heinous of them is crimes of false imprisonment. So I, you know, I read about those things. I've seen them in the headlines. I've also watched Netflix docuseries relating to them. But for me, I really wanted to focus on the survivors and see how they adjusted, you know, post-trauma, and if they're ever really able to move on past that trauma. Of course, this is all fictitious, but it is. I did a ton of research on this, and I tried to root it in reality as much as possible.
I know you also studied at the Sorbonne, and to me, I can't imagine. I mean, I've visited France many times in Paris, but to actually live there in your 20s and to be a student, I mean, you could probably do a movie about that, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely true. I was very lucky to be at the Sorbonne and to do my master's there. I actually lived about 30 minutes outside of Paris, but I was there all the time and explored every nook and cranny that I possibly could, not the least of which is the catacombs, which is also a source of inspiration and terror.
Absolutely. Oh, that's perfect, the catacombs. Oh, freaked me out. So speaking of movies, I mean, where do you see this going that way?
I would love to see Lizzie Barry on the big screen or a small screen. It just came out yesterday, so I'm definitely hopeful that the Bright readers will find this book and that they'll love it as much as I did while I was writing it. I also, as Ricky said, The Missing Sister, my debut, came out last year, about a year ago actually, to the day, and it features the catacombs in Paris. So I would also love to see that adapted to film. That would be really, I think, intense to see.
A couple more questions for L. Marr. Lies We Bury, available now. The main protagonist in this new book is Marissa Moe. So talking about her character and the way she accepts a job as a freelance photographer for a newspaper in Portland, Oregon, tell us a little bit about her character. And since we're talking about film, who do you see, which actress do you have in mind to play Marissa Moe?
Oh, such good questions. I definitely, well, for Marissa Moe, I always try to base my characters into, you know, ground them in some way that we as readers can recognize them in friends we might have or, you know, maybe ourselves. And so she's definitely grappling with a lot of PTSD based on her origins and coming to terms with how she was born and how that affected her family, her mother, of course, who was a kidnapping and an assault victim. So she's grappling with a lot as an adult and really has avoided dealing with those issues for so long and has changed cities and jobs just to, you know, try and move past that, to slap another Band-Aid on it without really dealing with the issues at hand. So it would, for me, it would require a very talented actress. And I'd also want that actress to reflect Marissa's ethnicity, which is mixed race. She is a mixed race Asian American woman. And I think there are a lot of up and coming actresses that would really fit the bill. I would love to see, I mean, if we could get Olivia Munn to do this and just age up Marissa, I would love that. Because I love Olivia Munn. I think she's brilliant.
I love her. Mm-hmm.
That would be my ideal. But that's a great question. I have to think about that more.
You know who else is good? Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Awkwafina, I was also thinking of, because she's just so
underused.
And I think she's a good actress. She could do it.
She was amazing.
She's willing to change her look. You know, she's willing to change her look completely. So
that's a great call out.
Yeah. And later
on, as long
as
you're okay with a voice like this.
Hey, Marissa's been through some trauma. Maybe that affected her vocal cords. I'm in
right.
Well, the other thing too about this, you know, when I think about Portland, you know, the comedian Ian Carmel's from there, and he told me, in Portland we ride our bikes to work to b- build sustainable wind chimes. I mean, you don't usually think about grisly crimes. It's kind of nice to see you set this in Portland, where we don't really think about stuff like that, for the Rose City.
For the Rose City, for the Bridge City, exactly. Stumptown. Portland is just the best city. It's full of the nicest people, honestly. But there are some seedier locales in Portland that I did not know about before moving here. I live here.
Great.
Portland-Shanghai tunnels. Yeah, the Portland-Shanghai tunnels make an appearance.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I went to it.
Oh, you're over.
Yeah, you go down the steps. My sister wouldn't go with me. She lives in Portland, and it is a wonderful, you know, it's a weird place in some ways.
Yeah.
And, you know,
fun.
Keep Portland weird, right? And
exactly.
I went to those tunnels, and that is some scary stuff. I mean, I just
love to go
to places that scare me like that, and it was freaky, freaky. So I really look forward to you setting it there.
And by the way, Al, if you get a chance, comedian Chris Porter, who's going to be on my show in about an hour, he's at Helium this weekend there. So if you want to see a good comedian, go check him out. We've been speaking with Elmar, E-L-L-E-M-A-R-R, Elmar. The book, Lies We Bury, it is out now from Thomas and Mercer Publishing. El, thanks for coming on the show, and congratulations on the new book.
Thanks, Al. Thank you so much, Rick. Yeah, thanks both.
All right, good stuff. And Jan, on the other side, we'll welcome back your old buddy Leah Garchik again. How about that?
Oh, great. She's so talented. But, Ricky, that is some weird stuff she was talking, man.
I know. We like it weird here on Byline. Come on back.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. That's 800-693-8290.
Matthew.
Sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? Pet Joy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy Pet Joy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get 2 bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call Pet Joy right now. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153.
That's 800-846-2153.
I'm not insightful enough to be a movie critic. Maybe I could be a food critic. These muffins taste bad. Or an art critic. That painting is bad.
I'm so disgusted by Rick Tittle that I find him very intoxicating.
Oh, thanks, I guess. Welcome back to the show, Rick Tittle and Jan Wall with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome back to the show Leah Garchik, longtime columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle. And Leah, can you believe it's been 50 years since you started at Fifth and Mission?
Oh, my God. That,
right. Well, let's... I started in 72, so almost 50, 49. Yeah,
oh
I can't
God.
Believe it. I can't believe I was ever, however old I was, 49 years ago.
Oh, you were a child, darling, a mere child.
Right.
You
right.
started working with some pretty famous people back then.
Yes, yes. The premier question I'm always asked when people learn about my long chronicled career is, did you know Herb Cain?
Mm-hmm. And?
Yes, of course I knew him. But my boss was, my first boss was Art Hoppe, though, who was a political columnist. So we worked right down the street. That is the office corridor from Herb Cain.
Mm-hmm. My first question would have been, do you remember the Zodiac letters coming in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we were kind of in another wing. I do remember that. And, in fact, you know, there are some people who were still involved in that who are still working at the Chronicle, Kevin Fagan. And so that's not dead. You know, people had drawers full of correspondence and notes about that.
Well, let's get out of the creepy and talk a little glamour here.
Yeah.
Leah, my old friend, my darling,
yes.
I want to know, what was glamorous? What was fabulous? What was amazing to you? Just something that comes to mind.
Oh, well, the Vanity Fair Oscar parties. I couldn't believe I was actually there. I had read about it. You know, I grew up in New York, and I was just listening to the radio because there's some kind of new biography about Truman Capote, and there's always
Great.
Talk about Truman Capote's black and white ball. And I guess I was in college when that happened, and looking at and reading the stories and thinking, oh, would I ever be invited to something like that? And then there it was, maybe, you know, not 10 years later, but I was at the Vanity Fair Oscar party.
And who did you see that blew your mind?
Oh, everybody. I saw
Elizabeth
everybody.
Taylor, when I saw Elizabeth Taylor, I almost fainted.
I was face-to-face with, Tom Hanks. I got in line for a drink once, and I looked behind me, and there was Clive Owen. And just everybody, Cate Blanchett and Hugh... Grant. It was amazing. Of course, a challenge to, I don't know, Jan, whether you've experienced this, to, you know, how early on in a conversation, I like to always early on identify myself as a member of the press so that whatever someone said to me, I wasn't sandbagging them to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a delicate dance you learn to do.
Correct.
You know, and I think about the way things were, where you would, in the beginning, you type an article on, like, carbon paper and then, you know, write a 30 at the bottom and then half-toning pictures. And now you can just write an article from home and email it in. And you've really changed, or you've adapted with the times, I should say. What are some of the
when
other
when I started, there were still manual typewriters. And my tale of what it was like at the not always generous Chronicle was that the first day I asked the office manager for an eraser, for that manual typewriter, and he gave me one of those round discs with a green brush attached to it. If you're of any age, you remember those, but it was a used one. And then we went to, about the time I got promoted to a full-time writing job, we were converting to computers. That would be 1978. And I remember asking my boss, oh, I'm going to type first on a typewriter, and then I'll write it, and then I'll type it into the computer.
Wow. San Francisco has had some incredible famous people. You know, you mentioned Herb Cain. We also had a lot of other, you know, attorneys and classic
yes.
ladies like Joe Schumann Silver and,
yes.
You know, Charlotte Maillard and all these crazies. What a great place to cover.
Yes. Well, at first, though, in my work, I was really not covering San Francisco so much as I was covering the larger scene because Herb still was at the top of his game, and the first instructions I had about this column that was going to be created of items was don't irritate Herb Cain. Don't make him think he's trying to poach on his territory because, you know, one bit of annoyance and you'll get the back of his hand and you won't have a column anymore.
Right, right.
So I was very careful. Whenever I came across a local item, I would present it to him like a dog bringing slippers to the master.
Wow. A couple more questions for Leah Garchik of the San Francisco Chronicle. You know, I think about correspondences with fans, and like my mom used to write a letter now and then to Herb Cain, and she was always shocked that he would write back. How did that go with you? Did people send you gifts or weird things in the mail?
Not so much gifts. Herb was notoriously a more of a gift collector. But I had my favorites, people that I really felt like I knew, as though I knew them, because they read me every day. They knew my thoughts, especially as time went on and I got more freer, freed myself to write what I thought. And there was one lady, her name is Molly Griffin, and I was struck. She was an older lady, and we corresponded. And she was so sweet, and she had grown up in the neighborhood where I live. My mother's first name had been Molly, and she didn't grow up there. She lived there, but I think she came from Brooklyn, too, where I'm from. Anyway, I was just making the bed in the guest room the other day, and on it is an Afghan that Molly Griffin made and sent to me.
When my
grandchildren, I told her at one point my mom, who was quite elderly at that time, had a stroke, and Molly Griffin crocheted slippers and sent them to me to give to my mother. I mean, it was very touching to me, those relationships. Extremely.
Leah, you know what a movie buff I am. So what's a movie that got it right when it comes to an, you know, a newsroom, you know,
oh,
that you've
sweet,
been in your...
For me, sweet always the success. Sweet smell of success, of course.
That's because you identify with Burt Lancaster's character? With having that power?
Of how not to be.
How not to be, absolutely.
How not to be. And, Jan, I have to say that I was thinking about this just before you called, that when I do have conversations like this in public and people ask about the genesis of the column, I always credit you by name, that there was a point early on in the column, it was after Herb Cain died, so I could use local things. And somebody called me about somebody at a station that was having an affair. And I thought, well, I have to check this out. Of course, I'm a journalist and I still check things out. And I called you and asked you if it was true, and you were silent. You were silent. You didn't lie to me, but you were silent. And I thought, oh, I guess it's true. And then you said, but you have to think about whether that's the kind of column you want to write. You said that to me. And I absolutely listened to you and decided on the spot that that was not the kind of column I wanted to write, that I didn't want a finger pointer. And it really changed my perception of what my job was.
Wow.
And I always
Thank
credit you,
Leah.
You for that.
I remember that. Thank you, sweetheart. And it wasn't me having the affair either.
No.
No,
but it was a very important genesis.
Yes.
You know, I didn't want to be the community scold and the finger pointer, and you know, none of us is pure. I mean,
that's right. And you kept the column fun, but you also didn't go into that salacious place.
No, no. And I
no, that's great stuff. Before we go, Leah. So where we know where we can read you. How often and when can we read?
Well, I say my overheards are my cottage industry. So people are still sending me overheards. I was writing an essay kind of once a month in the Chronicle in a section that came to be called the Culture Desk, but that section has disappeared. So I don't know if I'll ever be in the Chronicle again. I'm working on some writing projects at home, actually, one that I'm well into.
So. Great stuff. And as we saw, the very wise Jan Wall, I have to say, that is sage advice, and you took it, and that's a great story. Leah Garchik has been our guest. Leah, always great having you on, and let's do it again sometime.
Oh,
love
thank you
Leah.
Very much. Okay. I really enjoyed it. Take care, everybody.
Bye,
good stuff. And Jan, I got to give you credit. That was very good advice you gave.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you don't want to have that, you know, because then you become who slept with who, you know.
And yeah, then you're a tattletale and everybody thinks you're a slime ball. Yeah. All right, good stuff. On the other side, we will speak with UK actress Alexia Kadime. I am with Jan Wall, Rick Tittle, and come on back.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Program. On the line is Paul from California. Hi, Paul. What's your tax problem today?
Hi, Ronnie. Love your show. Listen, I've got a big problem. You see, my paycheck was garnished last week, and I'm only getting half the normal amount. To make matters worse, the IRS froze my bank account. Listen, I'm embarrassed and scared. I need some help.
Listen, Paul, you don't need to feel embarrassed. You just need some tax help. And the great news is the IRS has some unbelievable programs that can eliminate your tax debt so you don't have to worry about having your paycheck garnished or your bank levied. Doesn't that sound great?
It sure does, Ronnie.
Then do yourself a huge favor and get a free consultation right now. And tell them the tax lady sent you.
855-715-5721. 855-715-5721. 855-715-5721. That's 855-715-5721.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
She said, I want Tittle.
Interrupting all programs.
This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Cuban army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite.
Rick Tittle can usually be found at He Baby House.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Jan Wall with you, coast to coast, around the world, on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure now to be joined from the United Kingdom, the lovely and talented actress-singer Alexia Kadeem, and she is here to talk about the brand-new release from Broadway Records. Just came out this last week. The original studio recording of After You, which was a big hit in the West End, and Alexia, star of that show, and also has been nominated for many awards. Alexia, welcome to the program. First of all, you're from London, and I know London pretty well. Where did you grow up?
Hi, I grew up in Northwest London. So, yeah, I'm pretty much a Londoner through and through. I've never lived anywhere else.
So are you Are you Spurs? Are you Arsenal? Do you care?
When I was younger and I was a bit more into football and stuff, it would have been Arsenal. I still support them, you know. Arsenal would have been my team.
Gotcha.
And when did the whole acting and music thing begin for you?
For me, it's really funny because I didn't actually set out thinking, oh, I want to be a singer, I want to be an actress. None of these things. It was always something that I kind of did when I was younger. My poor parents and aunts and stuff would have to sit down and watch me put my little pieces together, and I'd make them pay and things like that. So it was always something that I did when I was younger. It was a fun thing. When I was in school, I was actually studying English literature, psychology, and maths. So nothing to do with the arts whatsoever. I think mentally, I just didn't think that it was, I think, something as a career, so to speak. But because I used to do like drama classes as a fun thing after school, through doing that, I got an agent. And so that's how I actually ended up within the industry, interestingly enough.
Yeah. You know, I saw the Book of Mormon a few years ago. Maybe I saw you because you were in that in the West End, right?
Yeah, I was part of the original company. So when it came to London in 2013, I was there for 3 years. So if you had seen it between 2013 and 2016, then yeah, you would have seen me.
And how was the that's one of my favorite shows. How was the response to the Book of Mormon there?
I mean, it was, I remember our first, we had like a sort of like an open dress run, and it was like nothing I'd ever experienced. Literally, it felt like with the roar of laughter, applause and everything, it felt like the roof was going to come off. It was insane.
Wow.
We had a really, really great response, and always sold out.
That's over at the Prince of Wales Theatre. My favorite theatre in London is the Royal Haymarket, because in 1979, when I was 14, I saw a Sherlock Holmes play called Crucifer of Blood, and there was a naval battle. Do you have a favorite of all, like the Lyceum or the Apollo, the Royal? Which one is your favorite, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so I've worked in the Lyceum, Prince of Wales, Victoria, the Queen's, which is now the Sondheim Theatre. But then I've also done bits in other theatres. They all have like really beautiful, like, you know, the structure of them, because they're obviously like older buildings and stuff. But I have to say, I'm going to go with the Lion King, because that was my debut doing, so that's the Lyceum Theatre. Because it was my first, and just I think being in that theatre, you know, it was the first West End show I'd done, and it is a beautiful theatre. And whenever I've gone back to it, it's like, I don't know, there's something cozy about it that it's really like.
That theatre was built. That theatre is older than my country. It was built in the 1760s.
Right. Yes. I did a backstage tour of that theatre, and there's ghosts sets, and there's all these old stories. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. So
anybody gets there.
Absolutely. It used to be like they used to have like dances and stuff in there. It never even used to be a theater. And my grandfather used to go there. So that was really weird. I was like, oh, now I'm working there and I'm on the stage there, you know.
So as a I always like the title of mezzo soprano, because basically it means you can be a high soprano, you can be a low soprano. So that means to me, mezzo soprano means you have great range.
It does mean you have great range. You tend to get, if you're a mezzo soprano, you get belters, people who can really belt those higher notes, so to speak. You can access some of the soprano notes, probably not all of them when you're a true soprano. But yeah, mezzo soprano kind of gives you a nice world of being able to do the two, because you can also sing with the altos. And, you know, sometimes you can sing with the tenors and, you know, you know, you've got that kind of good range, so to speak. That it kind of accesses you too. You've got that power, I guess, to be able to sing in that high chest belt, that alphabet sound.
As it was. Yeah, alphabet. Yeah. Oh man, if you can do that, that's some hard stuff.
Yeah,
I always like in London hearing about tenors too, because that's how much a beer is these days, a tenor.
Yeah, yeah, tenors are pretty amazing, and there's a lot of them. But I have to say, I do miss hearing basses within shows, if I'm going to be completely honest. And the only two experiences of where I've had the joy of listening to bass voices is The Lion King and The Prince of Egypt. It just adds like a whole new layer to the music, which literally just gets you to your core. When it's just the voices and they all come together, it really just like, oh, it's magic.
Speaking of the Prince of Egypt, our guest, Alexia Kadeem, was nominated for a Grammy, but we're here to talk about the After You studio recording from Broadway Records, BroadwayRecords.com. Tell us a little bit more about how this came together and how pleased you are with how it turned out.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is this all came out through the pandemic. So we'd obviously shut at the Prince of Egypt and everything was in lockdown. So just after lockdown, Alex Parker, who's the writer composer of After You, reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to be a part of a show that he'd written, and it had been done before, which was in London, that they'd done a version of it. And they were doing a new version of it, and they asked me to be a part of it. And I was like, well, yes, yeah. So I'm hardly doing anything else right now. And, you know, we can't do Prince of Egypt. So absolutely. And so we did it at the London Coliseum Theatre, and we recorded it there. And through that, because it had such a great sort of response and the music, there was then talks of possibly doing the album. And so we got the album done the end of last year. So that's how After You came about for me. I was blessed to be able to do it with Bradley Jaden, who is just such a lovely, lovely guy to work with, and then just talented and down to earth all with it. So I was really lucky, and it was a really great team, and it was directed by Jordan Murphy. So yeah, and it was great. It was great.
You know, I would probably think that if you tried to sing and for some reason you didn't have the chops, would I say that you'd be a psychologist right now?
Probably. You could be very correct there, because I loved psychology. I really, really loved it. And I thought that's probably more the direction I would have gone. But I always kind of, it sounds so cheesy, but I do feel like my career chose me, because I wasn't venturing out thinking I could do it. I don't know, I think even still today, even after I did Lion King, which was my first West End job, I didn't think, I thought, oh, I've got to get, you know, myself together again, because, you know, like I need to go back and like finish off doing my stuff to, you know, really hone in on this psychology. And it just didn't go that way, because I just got another job after Lion King. I went into Wicked and played Elphaba. So yeah, no, it was great.
What a hard role. Oh my god, Elphaba and Wicked, that has got to be the hardest singing role I could think of besides for Dreamgirls. I mean, that is one hard role.
Yeah, it's a great role. It's good fun, and you do have a lot of fun with it. And it was a wonderful company that I was with. So, yeah.
Who do you listen to when you're home? What do you listen to? Who do you love to listen to?
Oh, I'm a Whitney fan. I always have been a Whitney fan. But I do like listening to lots of different voices, because just different voices bring a little something different, you know? So, you know, I'm not really stuck on necessarily one person, but just when you hear a good voice, it gets you in the heart, doesn't it?
Right. Oh my God.
When I heard her voice, I was like, where did that come from?
You know what else? When you're in those huge productions like Les Mis, and I think about being an understudy for different roles, and on any night someone could get sick, how hard is it, the pressure to learn one role, much less two or three other roles?
I've only ever understudied once. That was when I was 17 and I was doing The Lion King. And it was good fun. The thing is, I think while I was younger, it was definitely a thing of, you know, oh, it's exciting. You get to do something else. And you do just keep up with what you have to do because, you know, that's your responsibility. But if I think about it now, if I were to, like, cover someone, and when I think about the swings who are in shows who cover multiple people in the ensemble, I don't know how they do it. and I don't know if I could do it. I'm like, I don't know if I could retain that information anymore. Like, that was when I was like 17. I've been really blessed to be able to play some really incredible roles. So yeah.
Well, before we let you go, tell us your other talent with TLC Cakes.
Oh gosh. So Cakes is something that I've done with my mum when I was younger. And it's always just kind of been something there. And so I kind of just, it's more like driven by hobby. And so I do like cakes and stuff for friends and family and stuff like that. And I keep it in that sort of, I find it really therapeutic, and I try to keep it in that vein without it kind of getting anything too stressful, because let's face it, doing 8 shows a week is already hard enough.
My goodness, Rick, remember we had Michelle Heston on, and she does cakes, you know, and her full-time job is PR head for Fairmont Hotel Chain, but she does cakes and finds it, you know, for friends and family and business and team.
That's
cakes.
Awesome. Yeah. I think out of this pandemic, we're going to have a lot of new cooks and chefs coming as well.
Yeah, right? Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's nice that people have found that craft again. And kind of been able to be a bit creative in this time, because, you know, it has been tough, and it's been a really great outlet, I think, for people. I've definitely picked up my knitting needles again, so
it's nice. Yeah. Well, yours, just looking at your cakes, they blow away pretty much what we're making here in the house. We have been speaking with the highly talented Alexia Kadeem. Make sure to go to BroadwayRecords.com to check out the original studio recording of After You. And Alexia, can't wait to get back to London, and I'll look for you. I'll come check you out up on the stage.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Lovely to speak to you guys.
Thank you. Good luck to
Thank
you. Continued success.
You too. Thanks. Stay safe.
Great stuff.
Bye, guys.
You too. And Jan, you got some recommendations on the other
side?
I
have something so fabulous that just came out. People will love it.
Cliffhanger. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about $1 to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. That's 800-410-4771.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Rick Tittle's got a black belt in keeping it real.
Couple minutes left with Jan Wall. Jan, what should we be watching or avoiding?
Oh, no, definitely watch this one. I love, and I think you do too, Rick, World War II espionage films.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that is just the best. Okay, this is one of the really good ones. It just came out last week. There's all kinds of ways. Well, I think the main way to see it is on the big screen, and a lot of theaters are opening now. I saw it on the big screen, and it's fantastic. It's called 6 Minutes to Midnight, and it's with Eddie Izzard and Judi Dench. It is fabulous. It is so interesting. It's based on a true story that I'll bet nobody knew about a British on a seacoast of Britain, a girls' school that the high-ranking Nazis put their daughters in between 1930 and 1939. Okay, they wanted them to go to British boarding schools, so they sent them to this fancy school run by Judi Dench. It's what happens when Eddie Izzard becomes a teacher there. It is so amazing. It's called 6 Minutes to Midnight.
I hope you forgive me for this, but last week I was going to interview Eddie at 12:30 to play later.
I hate
about
you
this.
Because I would kill to interview him. Kill.
Yeah.
I love
but
him.
But I was getting my first vaccine, and I didn't want to miss my appointment, so I didn't interview him.
Okay, then will you please tell our great leader, our fearless leader, Darren, to get him on with me too, because I am a huge Eddie fan. Eddie Izzard. Look him up.
And remember, he's she and her now, by the way, officially.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, always great talking to you. Another great hour, and we'll do it next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on by.